And welcome into Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe hanging out with you on a Wednesday night. We're joined by Chris Mason here in just a second, longtime Predators goaltender and now a member of the broadcast crew. And Michael McCarron will be one of our guests. Martin Borowiecki will be the other guest here tonight, as it is a Wednesday tradition. Glad you could all be with us. It's all presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. And I believe we do have Michael McCarron, Predators forward, here with us. Michael, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Appreciate you doing this. It's funny. We've been doing these shows through Zoom, but I actually did get to meet you in person for the first time of, I guess, a month or so ago when you came up to the Patron Club at the arena. But
This
has kind of been the norm for a while of doing everything virtually.
Yeah, it's definitely different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I know it's got to be tough for all of you because you go through the testing and that whole thing, and night in and night out, you never know that you might be without somebody in the lineup because of COVID. But overall, I would say you guys have done a pretty good job of navigating those waters.
Yeah, we've been doing pretty good. When it seems like, you've heard Coach Hines and other guys say it's next man up mentality, and seems like we've been able to navigate pretty well throughout guys being out with COVID.
Now, last night, I know, did not go the way that you guys wanted, and falling 3-1 to the Vancouver Canucks. This is the ebbs and flows of an 82-game hockey season. I think I look at the last few games, and even though the results aren't there, do you guys still feel like you're playing the way that you should?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously that Buffalo game, and I'd say even last night with Vancouver, I don't think we played necessarily the best hockey we can play. I definitely think those games in between with St. Louis and Boston, we played the right way, and we gave ourselves a great chance to win both of those games. And sometimes those big games and those high emotion games can take it. You know, the next night you come in and you play Vancouver, and where you might not have that same emotion in your game, where I feel like we need to be able to find that emotion in our game to be able to win those games for our team. So it's definitely ebbs and flows in the season. We're going to take this and learn from it. And I'm sure we have a great team and we have great mindset in our locker room. So I'm not too worried about what happened this past week.
Chris Mason now joins us, longtime Predators goaltender, now a member of the broadcast team, as we talk to Preds forward Michael McCarron here on Smashville Live. Hello, Mace. How you doing?
What's up, guys? What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you, Mace?
Good, good. Just listening to you talk there. Obviously, everybody likes to make a big deal about a week here and there. You guys have been, you guys have developed something pretty darn special here, I think, with the way that you play, and it seems every team, no matter the season, no matter how good the team is, going to go through a couple rough patches. But just speak to what you guys have created that kind of started last year when you got your first shot with the team. And, you guys have this identity that everybody always talks about. How much fun is that to be a part of when you guys just go out and even look at last night, you just intimidate teams. And it's not just fighting. It's just the hard work, the everybody together, every single scrum, you got five guys in there. How much fun is that?
Yeah, it's definitely been a great time since I've been here. It started, like you said, it started from last year. Maybe even like that, you guys in the media call it the herd line. I think they started that nice mentality in our locker room. And the best part is everybody in the locker room gets along. And I've been a part of some really good winning teams, and I won the Mem Cup with Oshawa, and our team was so tight there. And I almost kind of referenced that a lot with some of the guys, where like it's just so tight. Everybody hangs out with everybody. There's no some guys here, some guys there. It's all cohesive and a great unit of 20. So, it's a lot of fun. I think it credits some of my success personally as from winning games. And it makes everybody on the team look better when you win games. And, it's everybody's having success from the top line to the bottom line, from top pair D to the bottom pair D. So it's, both of our goalies, we've all had success, and comes from cohesion. And, I think it really starts in the locker room with the leadership that we have. And, we all get along great, and it's fun to be a part of.
Yeah, Mike, what do you talk about that leadership? I mean, Yossi's got the C. You obviously have Duchesne, Granlund, Johansson, Forsberg, these guys that have been around, been around for a few years. But what are some leadership qualities that you see out of those guys?
You know, people say, and it's true, everybody has a different way of leading. You know, with Yost, I think it's the way he competes and plays every night, and the same with Granny. And then, you know, you have Joey, you have Forsberg, who's kind of the same, but Joey's more of the spokesperson, and he's going to tell you when things need to be picked up. Yost is a little bit like that, but I think Joey's a big voice in our room. You know, when he speaks, everybody listens. Same with Captain. And but some of those guys, I think mostly with Yossi, it's the way he plays and competes and shows up every night is the way that you have to play and compete. And same with Granlund. I think they just bring their game every single night, and it's basically they're leading by their play. Our leadership's great. I think it stems throughout the whole core of our team. I mean, you look at Ekholm and Borowiecki on the back end too. Those are big voices in our locker room too. And the way they play and the way they speak up when things need to be fixed, like you listen to them. And it's just a great cohesion in our group. And, you know, everybody pitches in a certain way.
For you personally, obviously last year you played a few games, and this year I know you played a bunch of games in Montreal and you've had a good pro career, but does it feel like you finally, you're an NHLer, you're here, you've established yourself? I listen to the coaches speak about you. I listen to your teammates. I watch you every single night. It seems like, I don't know, almost this year, you just came in like you're possessed and you just wouldn't be denied. And now, you know, they can't keep you out of the lineup. Is that how you feel about your game right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I feel like I was always right there with my game. I feel like it was just my speed and my competitiveness every single night. I think I needed to bring that every single night. And I think I had a really good off season. And I think the way that this team plays and the way that it's coached and the way that, you know, I guess we play every night, it really helps my game. It's hard. It's heavy. It's finishing on top. It's finishing your checks. And I think I finally have my speed and my stamina up to where it needs to be an everyday NHLer. And, you know, like I think last year being on the taxi squad, I really learned a lot being around this group of guys and being around the coaching staff. I think that really helped me come in this year into camp ready to go and, you know, earn myself a spot, which I think I have. And I think I need to continue. Obviously, I'm a bottom six player. I need to continue to bring that every single night for a long time to be considered, you know, a regular. But I feel like I'm definitely on my way on the right path to becoming an everyday NHL player. And I feel like I'm ready for it.
You brought up Borowiecki earlier. You know, he's going to be our guest in the second half hour. Aren't you glad that you don't have to fight him?
Yeah. You know what? I played in Montreal for a little while and I had to play against him, and he was always running around. And I don't think, like I just talked about with my game being ready as an everyday NHLer, I was never, you know, I was never really a force on the ice where nobody would really want to fight me because I didn't do anything other than, you know, just fight. So I never was able to fight him, thank God. And yes, I'm very happy I never had to.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, Mace, we were talking about this earlier, that you guys got several on the team that'll drop them if they need to. And I think that's obviously part of your identity that John Hines has been trying to build over the last couple of years. But if I'm not mistaken, I think you're up there in fighting majors for the NHL this year with the team as a whole. I mean, that's a force you don't want to mess with.
Yeah, I actually had an interview earlier this year too, where I was talking to Brooks, where I think it's the best case scenario where there's not just one tough guy. When there's just one guy, it's so hard. It's every night you're in there and you're like, oh, I got to fight this guy. And then the next night you got to fight this guy, where we have so many guys where we play so hard that someone's going to ask you throughout the course of the night, the way we play. We finish checks hard. We're a hardworking team. We're stripping pucks. We're, I like to call it dog on a bone mentality. So we're all over the puck and guys are going to get upset. And, you know, there's, I'd say 20 guys on our team willing to fight. So it's awesome. We have a great team and a great cohesion in that sense.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny, the irony in that, because you see it every night, and obviously every team's got toughness on it, but you guys go in and they might try to kind of counter that at the start of the game. And, you know, you got to stick up for your teammates, of course, but when it's 15 guys or 20 guys, or, you know, you got six legit guys that can play the game. It's something that before you guys got here and this team kind of took on this persona, that it was kind of a negative, I guess. Like, you go into Dallas or St. Louis and they'd kind of bully the Preds a little bit. And now it's, you just see the flip side of it. It just can't compete. So do you like having a coach, I guess, that really values that? And you said you have to find the right spot for your game. And it seems like, you know, you have with this coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the way our coaches coach. I think from top to bottom, even from our PK, I like the way our PK kills penalties. I like the way our coaches have a hard forecheck, don't let anybody punch you in the face kind of mentality, and they cherish that. Like, they like that stuff when you're hard on guys. And when I played in the East before, it's more skilled, more fast, where maybe I wasn't, I didn't fit into a team as well. And this team, the way they play, it fits my identity perfectly. And like I said before, it's not just me that's having to answer the bell. It's a lot of guys that will answer the bell. I'm not saying I wouldn't every night, but it's sometimes nice to, come in there and knowing that six other guys have your back as well. So it's awesome. And 20 guys have your back. It's awesome. Yeah. So, the way our team plays, I absolutely love it.
I'll just ask one more. I'm just going to follow up on that. What's Danny Heinote like? He's one of those guys. Like, he's a little, he wasn't a big guy, but I'm sure he probably told you he fought Char back in the day too.
He's an energy ball. He's one of the best assistant coaches I've ever had. It is in the way that he takes over as an assistant coach, the way he brings his energy to the rink every day. I feel like him and Coach Hines are on the same page at all times. And what he's telling you is exactly what Hines is thinking, I'm sure. So he's a great assistant coach. He's a great, I spent so much time with him on the ice last year as a taxi squad member. And he got my game. He worked on all the areas I was weak in, and I can't thank him enough. And I'm sure I'm positive some of my success this year is strictly because of him.
That's awesome. When we come back, I'm going to ask Mace if this group of guys that we're talking about reminds him of anyone that he played with back in the day with the Nashville Predators. As you listen to Smashville Live, it's all presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. It is Smashville Live, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Chase McCabe, Chris Mason, Michael McCarron here with you on this edition. Mark Borowiecki is going to join us in the bottom of the hour. So I said that I was going to ask Mace, does this group of guys, this team, this, you know, just tough mentality remind you of some of the teams you played on? Because you had some guys like Jordan Tutu, Darcy Hordachuk, Vern Fiddler, you know, that they weren't going to mess around either. So do you see some comparisons?
Oh, definitely. Shea Weber, Greg DeVries. We had a lot of those kind of gritty teams. I feel this team is maybe, I think, top to bottom lineup, one of the toughest I've seen. Even guys like Matt Benning, he's kind of sneaky tough. He looks quiet out there, but if someone messes around, like, he's not shy to drop the mitts, or he's tough in front of the net. And the way that every one of these guys, Alex Carrier, is not a big guy, but he'll put his body in front of any kind of shot and block it. I just feel like there's obviously been comparisons. The game was a lot different back then. I feel like this team is a throwback in terms of the physicality have, but everyone's got skill. You know, you talk about some of the guys, Darcy Hordachuk, those guys play, 2 minutes a game or 3 minutes a game. They just go out there and fight. The league's different now. So you don't see teams like this anymore. And the ones that do are few and far between. I'd say St. Louis, Boston, Nashville, maybe Dallas. I don't know if Dallas can hang anymore, but there's not many like it. Calgary, maybe. But it's different. It's different now.
Mike, when you were growing up, who were some players that you liked and try and model your game after?
So I grew up in Detroit, and probably one of the best eras of Detroit hockey of all time. And I loved the grind line. So that was that had Draper, McCarty, and Maltby on it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And obviously I like those three. I know Preds fans might not be too happy because you guys battled in a win Red Wings quite a bit in the playoffs, but I also loved the captain and Yzerman. It was a great time to be a kid in Detroit at the time.
Well, Red Wings coming to town on Saturday, of course. So that's that'll be fun. It's funny, though, like you bring that up, even though they're not in the division anymore. I know for me, whenever Detroit comes to town, it's just it hits a little different because I grew up going to games during the time you're talking about when it was just you hate and you had the Pred Wing fans that had moved here from Detroit. And so they were Preds fans for every game except for when the Red Wings came to town. And it was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to play them. I was lucky enough to play in Joe Louis a couple times before they shut down that place. So that was pretty special for me as, you know, a Detroit kid.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good years to be a hockey fan up and comer. Now, do you guys get to do much here in Nashville? Are you guys pretty locked down or do you have any favorite spots you like in town here? Like, where do you go? Do you eat pregame meal at the rink or do you get to go night before and do any of that? What's your routine?
Yeah. So, obviously day of is, you know, my morning, I always make my own breakfast. I think, I like to have my eggs and my smoothie in the morning before I head to the rink. And then I always eat from the rink. The pregame meal is usually pretty good at the rink. It's always either rice and chicken with a big salad and some marinara sauce on the rice. But, that's always at the rink. It's pretty good at the rink, actually. Some of my favorite spots in town, obviously I got to give a shout out to, you know, Yossi's place in the 1230 club. They have great dinners, at that place. We go there as a team sometimes. You know, I try to stay off Broadway. It's too busy.
Yeah. Great.
But, yeah. I do like, my favorite Italian place is Giovanni's. They have great, a lot of guys go for pregame meal there. Olivia and I, my fiance, we love to go there for dinner. They have some great, great meals, some really good wine that we like. So, it's probably a couple of my favorite places.
Nice.
Yeah, that's not bad. There's some good spots around here. What's your favorite kind of wine?
I like it all. I mean, my favorite, I have to say Cabernet, but I do like, I like the Bordeaux's, from France. I do like them. They're just a bit, you know, they're a bit more tastier. I think they're a bit more full bodied. So I do like those as well. I wouldn't say I'm a wine connoisseur, but, I definitely like my wines.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
No,
let me ask you more on, we talked a lot of hockey. You guys probably get sick of talking that. Like when you travel on the plane, Are you a card guy? Are you a movie guy? Like Netflix? Or what do you do to pass the time?
So I'm basically a call-up guy for cards. So whenever someone's out or sick or with COVID or an injury, I'll play cards. I love cards, 7 up, 7 down. It's basically a Trump game.
Yeah,
I play that. I like to play that. And if not, I'm still, you know, I think I'm a few games away from, you know, being a verified rookie in this league. So I just sit there with my headphones on and I like to play like solitaire cards on my game or cards on my phone. And I like to Spit and Chicklets podcast. I like listening to those guys. I think they're hilarious. So I'll either throw on one of those podcasts or a different podcast and just close my eyes and get some rest.
That's awesome. They asked me to go on recently. I'm just debating. I can't go on and like tell – I can't tell good stories because it worked for the team. So it'd be kind of like,
hey, you're going to get in trouble.
Oh, my gosh. But, those guys are hilarious, though.
Oh, they're awesome.
They do a great job, for sure. So the card games, I've been on the plane before and I can hear it, you know, behind me. Like, they can get pretty intense sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. Like, especially when you're winning, too. Like, if you're winning games and you're able to have some, and you're able to hoot and holler in the back, it can get pretty wild. I mean, I wouldn't say it's not like it's too crazy. I wouldn't say the money is too crazy. Like the most you could lose in one game in about an hour is, I mean, might be for some people is $100, but I've been on teams where you could lose $500-$600 in an hour. So it's even with $100 payout in an hour, people are still, you know, freaking out. So it's a fun time and we definitely have fun at the card table.
That's awesome. Are you a video game guy at all? Or are you Netflix or anything like that?
No, I'm I got shut down by that from Olivia a long time ago.
Oh yeah.
No, yeah. I used to play quite a bit actually in junior. I used to play a lot. And then as soon as she moved in, I guess I kind of fell out of touch with it and stopped playing. I definitely play games on my phone. I like card games. I like, you know, I guess I'd say Sudoku I play sometimes on the plane. No, definitely more a card guy than video games.
Yeah, who are the big gamers on the team? I know Forsberg is.
Yeah, we got some. We got some gamers. So on the plane, a lot of guys play Nintendo Switch or the Twitch or Switch or whatever Switch, it's called. Yeah, I've been trying to get one of those. They're sold out across Nashville, by the way. I've been trying to get some, but they play. You can all Bluetooth each other in, and they play Mario Party, and they play Mario Kart, and they play that. So they have like best of tens going on every flight, and they seem to have a little fun. Sometimes they're even more loud than the card table.
That's awesome. When Danny Hino, we used to call him Eagle Claw. We used to play PSPs. It was SOCOM. We'd always be on the same team. I was 5-0. My number was 50, and he was Eagle Claw. And we just, the trips to San Jose would seem like a half an hour. It's like a 5-hour flight. You just play like nonstop on the bus. You got to call him that tomorrow. Call him Eagle Claw.
Eagle Claw. Yeah. I used to play PSP and I used to play Grand Theft Auto on PSP.
Oh, yeah. 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 That's awesome.
Fun times.
Mace, didn't you tell me one time that you and Hartnell would have some pretty intense Mario Kart games?
No, we played, it was SOCOM on there. Scott Nickel, who Mac probably knows, he was a big player. We had like 11 or 12 guys and trainers. David Gibb used to play. We had everybody. There was like 12 guys when I played for the
What's that game called?
SOCOM. It was like you go like 4-on-4 or 5-on-5, and you'd have all these different maps, and you'd have to like kill everyone dead. You could do revives and stuff. It was, oh my God.
Okay.
It was hilarious.
Never heard of that, but it sounds fun.
See, I'm aging myself.
Yeah, I remember SOCOM for sure. But like you guys talk about these playing games and cards and stuff. I mean, that falls in the team bonding. I mean, we started this conversation about how close you guys are, and just this last 5 minutes talking about, all this stuff, hanging out together because you spend so much time together, especially with the COVID stuff. I mean, that leads to the team bonding.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before too, like it's not just like the car guys hang out with the car guys. It's, you get to the hotel and there's a team, lounge. Everyone's down there hanging out with each other. And the team camaraderie, I'd say, since coming up here, has been, second to none. It reminds me of, like I said, my Memorial Cup team and even the team in Milwaukee that we had the year when COVID shut us down. We were the first in the league. It's just, you get a different sense of, you get a different feeling around a team when, everyone gets along. You just kind of know, like Mace, I'm sure, it's just a different feeling. You're just like, wow, these guys are tight. Like these guys get along well and they cohesively play on the ice the same way, the way you hang out off the ice. So it's definitely something special. And, I think it's definitely in our benefit.
Absolutely. Like you can literally see it on the ice. Like it just translates and especially you've been on those teams, you've been on teams where it's not like, obviously you like the guys and there's a couple good guys, a couple, whatever, okay. But it's not the same. And then when you have that experience, it's like, it's just a powerful thing. And there's this zero hesitation when you're out there on the ice. This is me watching you guys every single night. And it's something that you can visually see the way that you guys play and the way that you stick up for each other, the way that you work, the accountability, all the above. And it's a rare thing. And it's not easy to find.
No. And I give credit, to the GM and David and Scotty Nickel. It's a hard thing to put together a group of guys that can maybe possibly happen. I mean, it's hard. It's maybe it's some luck and some, you look, he's got however many years in the league as a GM. I think he just knows, the type of people that need to be put together. So it's, I don't really know what else to say. I think it's fantastic and we need to keep this train rolling.
Yep.
Well, Mike, appreciate the time tonight. It's good to talk to you. Best of luck tomorrow against Winnipeg, and we'll do this soon.
All right. Thanks, Chase. Thanks for having me. And Mace, we'll see you soon. And let's go Preds.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Keep it going,
absolutely,
buddy.
Yeah. Thank
Michael
you.
McCarron, see you, boys. Predators forward joining us here on Smashville Live. We'll come back with defenseman Mark Borowiecki. That is all next, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. You can also watch us on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, all of those things. It's presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Chase McCabe, Chris Mason with you. And now we say hello to the Borough Cop, Mark Borowiecki, joining us here. Mark, how's it going?
Good. Good. Yeah, I'm doing good. I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
Yeah, always good to talk to you. We got to do this last year. And, you know, I was telling Michael McCarron before that, you know, at least I'm starting to meet some of you new guys in person, because we've just been staring at each other through a screen the last couple of years. But I know things have kind of flared up again, but making it through. So how do you think you all have navigated this COVID stuff so far?
I think we've done a good job. I mean, it has been difficult. You know, I'm sure you hear guys say it all the time, but the one thing is, you know, every team's going through it. You know, it's not unique to us. You know, I think the tricky ones are those afternoon games where you've got guys coming up positive, you know, a few hours before the game, right? Kind of throws you a bit of a curveball for that guy personally, you know, for guys who may have not been in the lineup and now all of a sudden are. So that's been a bit tricky, but it seems like we're kind of coming to the end of it here. So I think all in all, it's been a pretty good job.
We're just talking to McCarron about, you know, the catchword that you guys, everybody throws around as a big part of your team is the identity and the camaraderie that, you know, obviously me watching you guys every single night, it's something you can visually see from you guys. And it seems like every single guy in the lineup is just willing to do whatever it takes at any given time. And, you know, obviously throughout 82 games, you're going to have some games you're not your best, whatever it is, what it is. You lose a couple of games, no big deal. It's going to happen to every team. The team that wins Stanley Cup is going to have a couple of bad weeks here and there, but every single night you guys compete level. I've just never seen a team that every single night you guys bring it. Doesn't matter what night or who you're playing.
Yeah. I mean, we appreciate hearing that too, because it's tough, you know, Mace, like it's tough to bring that every night. Some nights you're tired, it's a back-to-back, whatever it may be. And, you know, I think your perspective is really good and spot on. You know, there's ebbs and flows to a season. Like, I've played on a team that made the conference finals, and, you know, I was thinking about it today, just kind of mulling over these past four games for us. And at one point on that Ottawa team, I think we were on like an 8 or 9 game slide, and we had a closed door meeting, you know, like there's always stuff like that over the course of an 82 game season. So, I think the one thing for us, you know, to our credit, to the guys in the room, to their credit, is we don't really come out and lay an egg very often, right? We're usually pretty competitive. We've only had a couple of instances this year, and you know, where we haven't really played to that identity and that culture that we've tried to implement. So I think it's a good foundation for us.
What has this last stretch of games been, you know, been like for you guys? Obviously, you know, I asked Michael about, you don't get the results you want, but there are times where you like how you're playing. It's just, it's a tough league, and that's how it goes night in and night out.
Yeah. Like sometimes I think that can be even more of a gut punch. You know, you go out and you have a war against Boston and you don't really have much to show for it. You know, you sneak a point up, go and do a tough game in St. Louis, and we made some mistakes, but I mean, we still played hard, and you got nothing to show for it. And sometimes that stings, you know, sometimes it's easier to swallow going out there and playing terrible and getting the result you deserve, versus laying it all out there and not having much to show for it. So, you know, again, I think it's important to kind of have some perspective and realize that this is kind of the ebb and flow of a season, but, you know, certainly some things that we can clean up in our game. You know, it seemed like everything was going right for us for a while there. And, you know, I think sometimes when that happens, some bad habits will creep into your game. I don't think anyone intends for that to happen. It's just the way it is when you're rolling at a 900 win percentage or whatever it is, right? You know, some of those things are going to creep in and they end up kind of biting you later on. So just get back to kind of details, get back to our game and really try to buckle in here.
I was going to get maybe into your you know, the start of your career, you're Ottawa, born and raised in Ottawa, and then you get to play in the National Hockey League for your hometown. Like, how cool was that? Like, was that just seems like I grew up a Flames fan. I'm from Red Deer, but I just thought it was always fun. I love going back and playing in Calgary, and the saddle alone was always such a special moment to me. Was that awesome? And did it kind of wear out at the end there? Or was that something you love being playing in your hometown?
Yeah. You know, I think at the very beginning of my career, I think it was, you know, I was very starstruck. going into a room with Alfie and Spezza and Nealer and Philly, all these guys, Mason, you know, like that, those are guys who I worship growing up. And I remember those first couple of seasons being like it was almost like imposter syndrome. We're like, I do not belong here. Like, what am I doing? You know, like it almost made me a little bit timid on the ice. And I think it retracted from my game a bit. But then I think as I settled in, you know, it really was special for me. You know, I think I probably took it for granted a little bit. You can't help it. You know, I was part of that organization for what, 10, 11 years. You're going to start taking it for granted for a while. But, you know, that organization is always going to have a place in my heart. You know, as well, when you go out there and lay it all on the line for a team, you know, I've literally bled for that team. There's kind of a special connection there. So, you know, the community is really important to Tara and I. I'm sure, you know, at some point in our lives, we're going to end up back in that city. So yeah, it really was a special time in my career.
Yeah, I can only imagine. How do you think that you fit in here? I know last year was obviously a shortened season, was different. Yeah. You had the injuries, you had you know, other things that you were dealing with from a personal standpoint, and now this year it feels like you have really found your role and your spot on this team.
I appreciate that. It means a lot, and you know, this is certainly the way I'm playing now, and the role I have now is what I had hope for coming in last year. And you know, when you play the amount of pro hockey that I've played, that Mace has played, there's going to be down years. You look at guys across the board in the NHL, there's going to be years where you're out with an injury, you're out with, you know, personal reasons, whatever it may be. I think it's about how you respond. You know, I really kind of didn't want to sit around this summer and drag my lip and feel sorry for myself. You know, I stayed here all summer and I worked my butt off, and I wanted to come in here and have a good showing. And I feel like it's gone really well. You know, I'm really fortunate and grateful to have Matt Benning, you know, on my right side for most nights. Obviously it's been a bit different here with things in a bit of a blender personnel wise, mm-hmm. but I think he's really helped me solidify my game. We have a really good connection on and off the ice, and also the coaching staff. You know, they've kind of gone above and beyond to make me feel comfortable. We communicate well. You know, it's always been a big thing for me in my career. I think if I can get on the same page with the staff and communicate, know what the expectations are, it helps any player in the league. And they've done a great job doing that. So, you know, I really do love the guys in this dressing room. Every player is going to say that. It's probably overused, but we've got a tight group. It's kind of a funny role for me being the oldest guy at 32. It's a strange dynamic, but I enjoy it. You know, the young guys here, like I can't speak highly enough about them. Tanner, Alex Carrier, you know, Tolvi, like these guys are just like, they're good players, but they're good humans too. And I love being around them.
Yeah, real quick, before I turn it back over to Mace, you were talking about Ottawa. The new schedule, the rescheduled games came out today. So April 7th, have you circled that on your calendar yet?
I got a couple of buddies in a group chat, a little golf group chat. So as soon as I got it, I texted them. I was like, April 7th, because they had I think they were all geared up to go to that game, and it got canceled. So I've been on top of that one.
So you talk about your work in community, obviously very important to your wife and you. What, why was that, or why is that? Is it because obviously you're a very good person? You know, I really have a lot of respect for you coming out with you know, your story, man. That's like, you just have no idea. I've got good friends, Corey Hirsch and a bunch of guys I used to play with, that you just don't realize how many people that you help either in the hockey world or not in the hockey world. But what is it about that that's important? Because I admire guys that, you know, you realize the dream, but they still, with their families, with their wife, they just go the extra mile in the community. And I know that's important to you guys.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. It means a lot, Mason. You know, I think part of it for us, for Tara and I, is just kind of remembering where we came from. You know, my wife, Tara, she's from Ottawa as well. We both grew up in Ottawa. And, you know, I don't know, like I was that kid hanging out at practices, trying to, you know, catch any glimpse of NHL players that I could. I was that guy, you know, just trying to immerse myself in hockey. And, you know, when I see kids trying to do that too, it really reminds me of myself. And I think now that I have a son, it's evolved even more for me. And, you know, obviously I think as I've kind of had some personal struggles, perspective has been a big thing for me, and realizing that there's more to life than just this game. So, you know, how can I use this opportunity I have, this platform I have to try to pay it forward a little bit and do some good things? You know, we're pretty privileged, and obviously I'm grateful for that. But, you know, if there's an opportunity for me off the ice to do something positive in whatever community I'm in, then, you know, I'm all for that.
That's awesome. Very, very cool. We'll have much more coming with Mark Borowiecki here on Smashville Life. We'll get into some things that he likes to do away from the rink. You heard him mention his son who is running around, so we'll get into that. It's all presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Smashville Live, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Chase McCabe, Chris Mason, Mark Borowiecki here with you on this edition of Smashville Live. And we mentioned this earlier, Mark, that the league did come out with the rescheduled games today. We already know about Ottawa, but for you guys to know that's all done now, you can kind of focus on other things and still get a little bit of a break in there. How important was that to get that done?
Yeah, it's nice. There was certainly, a lot was up in the air there. It seemed like we didn't really know what was going to happen. I think we were actually pretty fortunate. We had six, I think, that got rescheduled. Yeah. You know, some of those Canadian teams are going to be in a bit of a crunch there in the second half of the season. So, obviously a little more leeway with us, but you know, it is still nice that they found a way to work in that break. This time of year, we call them dog days for a reason. You know, it gets tough, the bumps and bruises start to rack up, so to have a chance to kind of regenerate a little bit, I think will be big.
Obviously, you know, you guys are right in the middle of the Central Division. I asked John Hines about this at the start of the season, and I know as players, like, you don't ever care what experts or what this person says or that person, but you're kind of aware of it. Yeah. Did it matter to you guys at the beginning? Because I remember almost every single person said it was Arizona at the bottom, then Nashville.
And I
was like, man, I'm like, you know, you never know, right, how it goes. But I'm just like, I can't believe. Did you guys ever talk about that? Ever, like, maybe personally think about it? I'm sure it's not something you guys talked about, but I just I just find it kind of comical.
Yeah, like, we never had, like, team meetings about it, but I know for me as an older guy who, like, I came here for a chance to win, like, it pissed me off for sure. it bothered me when I looked at some of the pieces we had and, you know, the way that those guys played down the stretch the year prior. And it's always kind of fun, I think, to have a bit of a chip on your shoulder and feel like the underdog a little bit. And I think that's certainly kind of fed into our identity a little bit that's been so key to us. And I think now people are kind of giving us the respect that we deserve when they see the way that we play night in, night out.
Have you, just follow up on that one more time. Have you ever played on a team? Obviously your game, you're a physical guy. I mean, even last year when you came in, your team wasn't that team. Like, you were one of the few guys that had that identity, and you know what it's like. You can't be one guy and go out and do it every single night and have that impact. Have you ever been on a team with this many guys that the whole team plays like that?
No, I mean, it's pretty incredible. And, you know, say what you will about the way hockey is evolving, whatever, but, you know, when we kind of put it in these terms, you know, prior to games, it's when you put that investment in physically, whether it's investing in hitting another team's decor on every dump and whatever it may be. I mean, that really is an investment in the game, and it starts to pay off. You know, it's, guys don't want to go back on pucks. Guys don't want to be first touch. Guys don't want to be skating through the neutral zone with speed. It really starts to pay off. And I think you see that when we're at our best, we kind of physically impose ourselves on teams. And you know, for kind of lack of a better term, I think we can bully teams a little bit. And I think it gives us a lot of success.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk about fatherhood. We were talking about this during the break. He's almost two. So how do you balance, you know, being dad and being a hockey player at the same time?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. I found it tough last year. We had Miles, like, right before COVID hit. So, like, I was at home for, like, the first 10 months of his life, you know, like, with him every single day. And I find that transition hard. I think it's gotten better this year for sure. You know, I really, on practice days, I try to take him. You know, on off days like today, you know, Tara, she puts in so much work, wives and girlfriends when we're on the road, especially with kids. I mean, it's really a full-time job for them. We're gone so much. So on a day like today, it's kind of, boys time a little bit. I'll take them into the rink. We'll hang out with the guys, you know, we'll do that. We'll go and run our errands together. So I kind of try to maximize my time that way.
Do you,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, did it change your mindset? I remember before you have kids, it's like hockey's everything. Like, it consumes your life, and you can just have that full commitment. When you have a kid, it changes a little bit. It kind of hockey goes on the totem pole. You can still obviously do it. It's just the priorities have to be shuffled.
Yeah, like I think, you know, the best way I can put it is before kids, you know, I was playing hockey for me. Now I'm playing hockey for Miles, you know. I'm playing because I want to provide him with the life that I think that he deserves. I'm playing because I want him to have fond memories of his dad being in the NHL. I want him to get a taste of this life and really experience this and enjoy it for what it is. And I mean, I could sit here and talk for hours about how my perspective has changed, as I'm sure you know, but it really is special. It's just the best thing ever.
So last year, our broadcast location was in Barrel House on the main concourse. And we used to joke that it kind of became the Predators daycare, because it was right outside the section where the wives and girlfriends sat. And so the kids would go running around during the intermissions. And obviously, you know, this group's gotten younger, but a lot of kids involved. So how cool is it to kind of, you know, your teammates, they're going through a lot of the same things. Kids are the same age and all of that.
It's awesome. And, you know, I think it's really important for the wives and the spouses too. You know, everyone's got a support staff here, you know, in some capacity. Like, you know, I think it's good for bringing us together as well. You know, on an off day the other day, we had a birthday party for Bo Duchesne, right? We get all the kids together. It was a great time. You know, we all loved it. We hung out. You get to see guys outside of the rink in a different role, in a different part of their life. And, it is nice when you have a group that's in a similar stage in their lives, and we definitely have that mix.
Speaking of different things that you guys do, I see your Instagram, and I see a lot of some Muay Thai kind of training videos. Is that how'd you get into that? That's cool. I love that. You're throwing the elbows there. I was like, oh my God. Thank God for the league. You're not allowed to do that. But it's how'd you get into that?
Yeah, like I got into it, I think, for more of a fitness side of it. I just couldn't help but think like mobility and flexibility and coordination and stuff like that, body awareness. I was like, hey, you know, this might transfer. And, you know, I've fought a lot in my career. I was never a technical fighter, and I think it bit me a lot. I was just a brawler. I just wanted to put my head down and chuck, and I wanted to hit someone or I was going to get hit. And, you know, it was always a coin toss. And I think as you get older, you're like, hey, you know, maybe that's not the best thing for my longevity and health. So maybe I should tighten this up. And I used to play with Chris Neal, and like this guy, it was like he had eight arms in every fight. Like he was so good technically, and he never got tagged. And I think this year has been my best year. You know, it's a small part of the game, but this has been my best year fighting wise, because I think I've approached it a little more technically, and I've tried to transfer some things from what I've trained Muay Thai wise. And I think it's made a big difference. So I'm definitely going to stick with it.
That's awesome.
So as we wrap things up, obviously two home games to wrap up the week, Winnipeg tomorrow, which is a big Central Division matchup, and then Detroit on Saturday. You know, we've talked about this stretch of games. What's kind of the mindset to go into tomorrow to get back into the win column?
Yeah. So I think, you know, first of all, we need to establish our identity. I don't think, you know, I think we'd all collectively say we didn't do that enough against Vancouver. You know, that was a team with young skill, and typically when you play against young skill, if you're hard and physical, you know, you're going to maybe make them think twice. We didn't do that. So how do we get back to that for this game? Winnipeg's an experienced team. You know, they've been to the battles, so we're certainly going to need that. And then I think it's, you know, focus on details too. Some of our good details that made us successful in the past have kind of left our game a little bit. And then also just kind of realizing, you know, these Central Division games are huge. Like this division, I've never played in the Central before. Like this is nuts, you know, like we went on an absolute tear, whatever it was, 12-1-1, and we barely cleared any points off of teams. Right. So, you know, these games are big. They're always battles, especially, you know, crunch time this time of year. So, we're certainly going to have to rise to the occasion.
Yeah, and what's interesting, Mark, about Winnipeg and then Vancouver, you know, they go through coaching changes, and you're kind of seeing what happens. Yeah. It's weird. Hockey's the weirdest sport that happens, and you just see, like, this new energy. But, like, Vancouver and Winnipeg are prime examples of that.
Yeah, like, well, Vancouver was, I think, something like 9-3-1 coming into that game against us or whatever since the coaching change. Like, sometimes just, you know, a new voice, a new message, it can really rejuvenate a team, especially with young guys, I think. For whatever reason, it wasn't clicking there under the previous coach, and they kind of found their juju a little bit there, you know, and it makes a big difference. So it's going to be kind of the same deal for Winnipeg. You know, it's going to be an important game for both of us, so we got to be ready to rock.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. It's always good to catch up with you, and appreciate you taking the time tonight. Go play with your son and get ready for tomorrow, and we'll see you at the rink.
No, I appreciate it. I'm always happy to come on. Thanks for having me. We'll go. It's bath time now for Miles. I'll probably do the same. So big game tomorrow. So
yeah. Thanks, Burrow. Thanks, guys. Good luck tomorrow.
Guys. See ya.
See ya, yeah, bye.
Is Mark Borowiecki, better known as Burrow. I'm Chase McCabe for Chris Mason. Thanks to New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine for Smashville Live. Stick around. Penalty Box Radio is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.